Let's everybody turn to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. So, I have a few. I learn better myself. Now, I don't know how you guys do, but reading is always the best, is a good way to do. But I learn by examples. I learn by doing. I learn by, you know, things like that. So we're going to have a few of those things going on during this time frame of examples. Numbers 13. It says, Numbers 13, verse 1. You guys don't get upset. Don't be shaking and all that kind of stuff. He's going to call on me. You know, don't get upset. Don't get nervous. The word of God says in Numbers 13, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, okay, the Lord said to Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Okay, this is a promise that he's already said, that I give unto the children of Israel. So if he's saying, I give the children of Israel, then that means it's done. It's a done deal, correct? Okay. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So, in this right here, God's given him instruction, giving him, saying that he's already given the land to him, but he's also saying, out of each tribe of their fathers, send a man, every one of them, a ruler among them. So what he's saying is, these guys that went out to this thing, this spy thing, is not kids. They are rulers of their house. Understand? All right. They're not young whippersnappers. They're mature. They're leaders. And then it says, Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness to Paran, all those that were heads of the children of Israel. So they're leaders, they're the heads of the household, so they've got some leadership skills behind them. So we will not go on through the genealogy of this thing, but it's to me, I think in verse 6, I just kind of threw this out here to me, it says, of the tribe of Judah. Now remember, this right here, because it will come in line later on, remember, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb was sent. Okay, so keep on going. Going on down. Let's see what we got here. Then he said to them, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Remember, God said, I've already given it to them. Okay. And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up to the mountain. Da 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 da. Goes on through this. I'm skipping a lot of stuff, you know, but I want to get somewhere. It says, and see the land, verse 18, see the land, what is the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and the cities they dwell in, whether they live in tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring you the fruit of the land. Now, listen to this now. See, God's preparation for us is already, he's already prepared things for us. He says, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now, he could have sent them back there in the barren times and go out there and send, you know, check things out. But he chose to send them at this time here for them to see the fruit. Okay? You with me? Yes? With me? That's the question. With me? Okay, got it. Okay, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness, on that way. Keeps on going. 23. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now, I was going to ask somebody to come up here with me, but I'm going to ask Brother Jim, can I borrow your stick right here? Okay, by the word of the Lord, they cut down a branch and they bore it between two men. Okay? And I'm sure that their branch was longer than this. But just say there's a guy right here in front of me. They're boring this thing, this cluster of grapes, between two men. Now, can you get the visual of this thing? Those grapes were not grapes that we buy in stores right now. Handful. You know, those grapes, a cluster, he said, one branch with a cluster bearing between two people. So those suckers had to be big. Now, the pomegranates that we're seeing today, hand like this. I don't think that those pomegranates they carried with them were that small, nor the figs. So are you getting a picture of this, what God has already prepared for them to have? He's already said, I've given it to them. Okay, got it? With me? That's a question. Okay. Now, so let's get on down that thing. Cut down from thence. Return searching. Okay. Let's see here. They cut down one cluster. 25. Verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You know, I've been kicking this thing around 40 days. This has a lot to 40. 40 has a lot of connotation there, and I hadn't grabbed a hold of it yet. But anyway, they 25, and they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, folks, they've already been out there and seen the fruit of the land. They're bringing it back to the people to see. And if you can see people walking through with two people walking through with a branch of clusters of grapes, wouldn't you get excited? That is for us. Would you not say that's exciting and that's what we got ahead of us? Well, let's move on. And they, 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That's a good word. That's an encouraging word, an exciting word. Okay? Now, verse 28 was the downfall. Nevertheless. Then we say, but, you know, nevertheless, what if? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and great, with very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Okay, now, verse 30. And Caleb, which the word of the Lord said he came out of the tribe of Judah, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Because he's remembering what God said. I have given this land to them. You know, he's remembering, and he's seeing the fruit. He has seen everything that those other ten have seen. He saw every bit of that. But he's remembering the promise of God. You know, and he's seeing the fruit that they brought back. He said, and we can possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. He's got his trust in God. 31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against him. That's not the way they said it, but that's what they mean. They said it real strong, bold, and all that. They came out These are wimpy men, you know. But they said it real strong and convincing. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report, which is a negative report. The word of the Lord said, "Whose report will we believe?" Of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone and searched, da 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 da." It says, "Up in the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw, men of great stature." They forgot the promises of God. You understand what I'm saying? They have forgotten what God said. And then in verse 33, "And there we saw the giants." And there we saw the giants. So they got their eyes on what's the circumstances. They got their eyes on what they're facing, what they're seeing. And they got their eyes off the promise of God. "The sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, we know the story of this thing. Those people, those 10 people, overrode the two. They went out and walked around that thing for 40 days, searching that land. And every one of those 10 people, plus others, except for Joshua and Caleb, did not go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only two of those 10 of those 12 spies that went into the promised land, because they kept their eyes focused on the promise of what God said. So, let me ask you, this is a question I need you guys to come back in that off. It says they gave an evil report. So what in today's time frame, what would an evil report be? Okay, that's a question. Guys, listen. There you go. My thinking is on this stuff, if we're reading that right there, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Okay? As being grasshoppers, that's small. Okay? Unimportant, whatever you want to look at. If you see a grasshopper down there, that's pretty small. But what was the cause of that? Of them seeing, they got their eyes off the promise. What was the cause, the whole thing, causing them to see themselves as grasshoppers? What were they basing it on? There you go. In my eyes, what I'm seeing is they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. They're seeing the giants, therefore fear attached themselves to them. They came back and gave a bad report, evil report, out of fear. They were afraid that they could not handle the giants. Now, am I Yes.
But they were seeing it's true.
Sure.
Real giants.
exactly right. Exactly. They got their name. They got their eyes focused on the situation. Yes. Okay. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 1. 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah. Caleb came out of the tribe of Judah. Philistines were on the property belonging to Judah. They're there. They're occupying that land. And pitched between da-da-da-da. And then it goes on. I'm not going to read everything, but it says, Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley in the battle array of the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain, and on the other side Israel stood on the mountain. And verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, Earl, will you come up here for a minute, please? Stand behind the podium, if you don't mind. Now, Earl's not a small guy, obviously. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says the 6 cubits equals about 10 feet. So, we're going to read in a few minutes what all is going on. But we're saying this is about 2 foot here. Earl's 6 foot. Now raise your hand. That's about 10 foot. Now, I learned by visuals. Okay? Now, if he's that tall, his head is head high, her hand high, he's that tall, he's a pretty good sized fella, isn't he? Now, if he's that tall, he's not going to be as thin as Earl. He's going to be 3 times Earl, probably, you know? Because he's probably going to be just about the size of this thing here, because he's going to be 3 times to carry that weight. Okay, brother. You see, we're not talking small. We're not talking small. We're talking big. Giants. Okay. Now, that's big. Okay, now listen to what he had on him, okay? He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I don't know what, I looked up a shekel, but I didn't look in biblical things, so I don't know what a shekel weighs. Does anybody know? Real quick. Anyway, it's not light. Anyway, 5,000 shekels is not light either. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Can you just imagine this guy standing up there, 10 foot tall, dressed in all the armor that he has on. Just his armor. 125, 150 pounds. And the spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And, now get this. He had one bearer and a shield went before him. Man, he was covered, wasn't he? He was covered from here to there and had a guy out in front of him. Bless God. And 10 foot tall. What? Oh, yeah. If you're thinking about this, seriously, think about this, what God has done. I mean, I know we know the story, but it's like, just think about this. The only thing that was not covered was this part right here. Just think about it. Okay? We'll get to that part in a minute. So, I got to hurry. I got questions to ask. I got limited time. Okay. Verse 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you one man, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Now, he's not just talking like I'm talking. He's standing on top of that mountain over there, 10 foot tall, screaming and yelling, probably cursing, because he says it in a minute. He says, if he be able to fight me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. And then verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy, which means come against, curse, whatever you want to say. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. Verse 11. When Saul, which was not a small kid, he was a warrior. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So, let's get back to this thing. Earlier, we talked about fear caused the Israelites not to enter into promise. Fear from this guy, his mouth running, getting to us, getting to them, doing exactly what that guy's intending on, and making them afraid and dismayed. Fear, fear, fear. Somebody told me, or not told me, but I heard. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. They got their eyes on appearing, I mean, it was real, you know, but the evidence was, or whatever it was, the truth was, is they had the promise of God that he's already given that property to them. You got their eyes looking at the people, circumstances. Okay. Keep on going. Let's go on down. Let's go on down. And then y'all read the story, find out what all is going on in this situation here. So David, his dad, Jesse, sent David to the battlefield to give him some food, talk to Saul, saluting everybody else, and he did. And he said, it's verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening, twice a day, and presented himself 40 days, standing up there, defying God and his people, 40 days. 40 days earlier, those people walked around, and 40 years later, they finally entered in the promises. 40 days, morning and night. I defy the Israel. I defy you by my gods. So he's talking about going down. So let's see. I'm skipping a lot because I want you guys to read this thing. But let's see. He's talking to his brothers, delivering everything. So he. Goliath came out again in verse 23. There came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, verse 23, Goliath by name. Remember, 10 foot tall warrior out of the armies of Philistine and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Well, everybody else has heard them too, but they were afraid. Then they go down and ask about, have you seen this guy? Have you heard from him? You know, then the promises from Saul, they go over that, what they'll do, what Saul will do for somebody who kills that. And he said, he asked the question, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the brooch from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God, of the living God? David had a covenant with God. This Goliath does not have a covenant with God, and David knew that. He spent some time out there on the backwoods or field or whatever, worshiping God and praying God and just having time fellowship with God. And he knew he had a covenant. And that's what we need to do is remind ourselves of a covenant. And he goes on. His older brother said some smart stuff to him. Okay. Then he Then he said some things to, and it got back to Saul. And David, in verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant," which he's talking about himself, David. Okay. Now let's get this straight. He was not a warrior. He was not in the army. He was a young, whatever age it is, teenager, from what I understand. Young. No, let no man's heart fail them because of him. Thy servant will go down and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to him, the encouraging warrior that Saul is, the king, over here standing behind on this mountain over here, just shaking, being afraid. That great warrior, verse 33, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." Okay, now listen to this. Here's a teenager talking to the king. You know, here's a young kid. Just think about, my thinking is, whenever I was thinking about all this stuff, I was thinking about Earl being up here at 10 foot, and I was thinking about Gage being a young man, God, you know, because that's about somewhere in that area. You can kind of get a visual about that. Verse 34. I got to hurry. And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both of the lions and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of God, the living God." Verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said, "Go. Lord be with you." Well, you know, a couple more things down there talking about Saul trying to fit David with his armor. David said he couldn't do it. He couldn't wear it because he hadn't proved it. Just by what David just said to him, that he reached back in his memory and grabbed a hold of what God has done for him already. You know what I'm saying? He reached back there, whatever time frame it was, 5 days, a year, 2 months, whatever time. He was going on memories of a relationship with the Heavenly Father that he reached back and said, "God, you did it for me then. You're going to do it for me now." You know, he spoke. He said, "The God that did it for me then, he's going to deliver this Philistine to me now." Let's hurry. I know I got. I'm taking too much time on examples. So anyway, goes on down. Let's see here, Gary. Come on down, Gary. 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Never mind. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, cursed him, tried to intimidate him, you know. For he was but a youth, a ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" Trying to intimidate. Just throw this stuff out there and intimidate. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, by the Philistine's gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field." And then David said, he might not have said this, but he said, "Shut up! This is what's going to happen." David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." Jesus' name is above every name. Let's remember that. Let's remember that. He said, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He's throwing this stuff out back at Goliath, reminding him what he's done. So he's an uncircumcised Philistine, and David's got a covenant. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand. I will smite thee. Now listen to him. This is the David talking. I mean, he's talking trash, but he's talking truth. You know what I'm talking about? He's talking smack, but he's talking truth. What I'm getting to is he's speaking what God's going to do, what God's done. He's already spoke what God's already done. He's speaking now what God's going to do. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee, take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all may know that there is a God in Israel. Keeps on going. Come on down. This is all exciting. And David hasted, and he ran toward him. That's 48. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. 49. Put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. This is the forehead, isn't it? This is the only part that wasn't covered. This is the forehead. He slung a stone and hit that spot that was uncovered. It didn't have an armor on it. And that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face. He talks about he didn't have a sword. Listen to this now. Just thinking. I've thought about this. He went and he slung the stone. No more mention of the armor bearer in this story. Pew! You know? No more mention of that. That sucker is either gone before the stone got slung or shortly after. 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Well, the story goes on, but I want y'all to do that. Read that. David, from what David started speaking, started talking about God's faithfulness and promises. He spoke to what God's going to do. He spoke, he came, and he hasted. Okay? Now, real quick, audience participation now. I'm warning you. I'm giving you encouragement. Audience participation. Has anybody seen anybody 10-foot giant in their whole life? Has anybody? No? Vocal. Shakes his hands are good, but your vocal will be good, even better. Okay? Now, since we haven't seen a 10-foot giant, my question is, do we face giants in today's where we're walking? Do we face giants? Okay. The reason why I'm asking you that question, I've got a list of a couple of things I think fake giants are. But brought this whole thing up, a little background. We won't go into all the details. But 2 weeks ago this past Saturday, I've been doing things, been walking through some junk and all that kind of stuff. 2 weeks this past Saturday, you know, I'm out there minding my own business, raking the yard, trying to get all these limbs from the ice storm up still. You know, and I know God speaks to every one of us. Every one of us. Sometimes, whatever. But as I was raking, I wasn't thinking about this at all. But God said to me, what giants are you facing? Well, do you know that God knows the answer to the questions he's going to ask you? Do you know that? Why did he ask me that question? So I would think about what giants I'm facing. That was on a Saturday. I thought about that pretty regular all day. Well, Sunday morning came along and still the question was still there, and we finally got real and got before the Father and talking to Teresa about all the stuff, you know, the stuff. And like, so I said, God's asking me a question, what giants am I facing? So about 6 o'clock in the morning, we started praying. You know, and before we got to church, I had gotten set free. Granted, I'm still in the process. God's still working on me, but I got set free of some of those giants that I was facing. You know what I mean? So my question is to you guys, you know, God, I believe that God's going to use me to ask you guys a question. The question I have for you guys is, what giants are you facing? You don't have to tell me all this stuff. It's between you and the Father. Okay? It's between you and the Father. What giants? But I want you to ask yourself this question and not have Gary ask you the question. Ask yourself, what giants am I facing? Now, I have a list of some things I think the giants are. And I'm not asking you to say the giants that you're facing. I'm asking you to tell me some giants that people face. Okay? Audience participation, voice is required. Okay? What are some giants people face? Health. Financial. What is that?
Physical giants.
Physical.
You can go to a doctor and say, hey, you might have this, you know, what disease, cancer. You know, personally, about 3 weeks ago,
For you guys, I think it would be good for you guys to write them down for yourself. What giants am I facing? And write them down. These are some things I've thought about, okay? Health, finances, sickness, unforgiveness. Fear. Fear hits a lot of people. A lot of people. A lot of the time. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. Word of God says fear not, but that's not always easy. We got to do what David did. Speak what God said. Okay? Unforgiveness. This is a big giant, I'm telling you, for a lot of people. Real quick, I did it on purpose a little early. But we gotta stop. The past. The past is a giant for a lot of people. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna get into the Word of God, find out what we're gonna do, how to do it, how we're gonna read them, but I'll throw this out there. Ephesians 6, talking about we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and power of the spirit. You know, we need an armor. The armor that we need to put on. We need to face that. First John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We got to understand these things. Whatever the giant is that you're facing, whether it be finances, whether it be healing, whether it be fear, whether it be unforgiveness, whatever it is, there is an answer in that Bible. We have got to have it in us so we can have and draw upon those things that God's already done for us and speak the Word of God against those giants. Okay, that's it.